Glorious Impossible. Well, this morning we find ourselves at the end of 2017, and it's hard to believe not only is this year gone, but it's hard to believe that it's almost been two decades since 2000. All of my life, and I found out something interesting this morning, that my birthday and Connor's birthday is the same day, December 27th. And all my life, I looked forward to the year 2000. I thought it was going to be, something really futuristic. But now that's two decades in the past, almost. And, it goes by quickly. As we come to the end of one year and the beginning of another, often we find ourselves reflecting on the past filled sometimes with both reminisce and other times remorse. Sometimes we're tempted to relive the past, and hopefully we think, well, if I could just relive the past, or if I could redo it in a better manner, maybe things would be different. But you can't do that. You can't go back and have a redo in that way. On New Year's Eve, we also might be anticipating the year ahead, say like March the 10th for some reason coming up. Is that a big day in somebody's calendar? Anybody excited about March 10th? This young couple over here seems to be pretty excited. Yeah. Yep, that's you. Yeah. And, we are tempted with eagerness as we face the future, both with eagerness but also with fear of as we face the unknown and what might happen, the what ifs the future hold. But we can't skip ahead in time either to enjoy the fruits or to do away with the fears. Many authors, of course, have written books like H.G. Wells did back in 1895, The Time Machine. I've watched the 1960 movie version of The Time Machine. This guy back in England has his friends over for dinner. They're kind of a philosophical group, and on, say, Friday, every Friday night they got together for dinner, and they would philosophize. This guy started talking about time travel, and then one Friday night he says, and I've developed a machine to time travel. They didn't believe him, and he travels through time. And he goes hundreds of thousands of years into the future. But perhaps more of you have watched Back to the Future with Michael J. Fox. And 1985, it's hard to believe that's been 32 years ago, Back to the Future. I think in Back to the Future 2 that he travels to 2015 in the future, and that's already in the past. That's mind-blowing. But in Back to the Future, you know how Marty McFly, played by Michael J. Fox, and Dr. Emmett Brown, Dr. Emmett Brown has that DeLorean with the doors that raise up like this, kind of in a futuristic way, and Emmett Brown is Doc Brown has gotten some plutonium, and he puts it in this canister and to generate 1.21 gigawatts of power. And Marty McFly travels through time and tries to change things in the past and the future. But the truth is, in real life, that doesn't happen. Besides, if you change things in the past, I think Dr. Brown said that would the space-time continuum, right? So you can't mess with that. Other TV shows like Quantum Leap, which also, Scott Bakula, remember that one? Nobody remembers that one. Oh, Jesse, you know it. And of course, Deek Geek back there, he remembers Quantum Leap. Jumping through time. We can't do that. But this morning, as we think about the past, the present, and the future, we do have someone that has already been there. The past, the present, the future that is eternal, that we trust in, that we find our hope in, and our purpose in for our past, present, and future. I thought of three verses to read this morning, three different verses that talk about the past, present, and future. And the first one is Jeremiah 29:11. Jeremiah 29:11, which I've heard this many times. I hope that you have as well. It's a good memory verse. As the Lord says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." Well, these verses were written to some people, the people of Israel, that had blown it, as you and I have many times blown it. The people of Israel had been warned many times by God's prophets to do away with false gods and to all the evil they were doing, and otherwise they would be exiled. And that's exactly what happened in 607 BC by Babylonian king Nebuchadnezzar. And he came and laid siege to the city, and they took all the all the royal family, all the scholars, all the skilled people. He carted them off 900 miles across the desert to Babylon. When they left Jerusalem, they knew that it was more than likely a trip of which they would never return home. Their hearts were broken. They could not change the past, and they seemed stuck where they were at, hopeless. Slaves, servants at best, to a king that they did not choose, and they had great regret, but they could not change what had happened. They were learning the hard way. But God had a message for people like that had blown it. God had a message for people that had refused to repent and were now learning the hard way. God had a message. And Jeremiah, God's prophet, God had him write out a letter and send it to these people because they needed to hear a word from God, people that could not change their past. And that includes all of us. None of us can change our past. But we can learn from the past and find forgiveness. As Jeremiah wrote this letter to them, he said, don't let anybody deceive you that you're going to be coming home pretty soon. Don't let the false prophets, the prophets were part of the royal court that had been some of the false prophets that were the yes men to the king. They went off. And these guys say, "Hey, we'll be good. Don't worry, oh King Jehoiakim and Zedekiah, you'll be headed back. Don't worry about it." And Jeremiah said, "That's not going to happen. You're not going to be able to go back. Don't listen to them. Instead, settle down and build houses. Give your sons and daughters in marriage and pray for the city in which you live that it may prosper. Because when it prospers, you will prosper." And then God said through Jeremiah, "After 70 years, your people will return." And you know what? They left in 607 BC, and a man named Ezra, the scribe, led a group of people back in 537 BC, and they began to rebuild the temple. We can't go back and change the past, but we can be forgiven, and we can know that we have a future, that God has a plan for our future regardless of our past. One of the things I like to, a phrase that comes to me is you have to start where you're at. I think sometimes we can live in the past regret about things that have happened, things that we've done or not done, but you have to start where you're at. That's where God is there with you, and he has a plan. He says, as he did to the people, Jeremiah, settle down there, work hard, pray for this where you're at, that it will prosper. And I have a plan. He says, "I have a plan to bring you back. I know the plans I have for you, plans for a hope and a future. God has a plan for our lives that we can trust in. Plans for hope and a future. We just came through Christmas, and one of my favorite stories, of course, is A Christmas Carol, Scrooge, and I've watched the, I think I've even watched the one with Mr. Magoo in it before. There's a Mr. Magoo version of the Scrooge, and I've watched the Disney Scrooge. I've watched them all, but it's a powerful story, and in that story, there's the ghost of Christmas past, the ghost of Christmas present, and the ghost of Christmas future, and this spirit takes Ebenezer Scrooge to the past, and as Ebenezer Scrooge looks at the past, he sees a lot of things, some good memories, but there's a lot of things that he sees that he's done wrong, and you know, the spirit says, these are just a shadow of things in the past. You're not really here. You can't change those things. And then at the stroke of one or whatever, the next one comes and they goes around, the ghost of Christmas present takes him around and he sees the way things are and the needs around him. And then the ghost takes him to the Christmas future and the way things are going to be if his life doesn't change. Well, God has a plan. He has a purpose. He has a hope for our future, but we have to start where we're at and begin trusting Him where we're at. Another verse that talks about this purpose is Romans 8:30, that He has a purpose that's seen in the past, in our present, and in the future. And that verse is Romans 8:30, which says, "And those He predestined," it's talking about God, "He also called, and those He also called, He also justified, and those He justified, He also glorified." As we think of our past, present, and future, we need to think in terms of God's purpose. He's got a purpose for my life, for our lives, in the past, present, and future. A guy named Robert Burns wrote a poem called To a Mouse. And it says, "The best laid plans of mice and men often go awry or astray." You know, we've got a lot of plans for our lives. Things we want to do. Places we want to go. As we come, you know, New Year's Day, you're thinking about the year ahead. But what you need to do to find perspective is to find that God has a plan. He has a purpose. He has an eternal purpose for our lives that's been determined from the past, has to do with our present, and far into the future. Some of the things as we look at our past, we think, why did all this happen? You know, Romans 8:28, leading up to this, it says, "In all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose." And we look at all these things that have happened. And you say, well, why did these things happen? You know, it's not that God caused all these things. It says, in all these things, God works for the good of those called according to His purpose. Some of those things that have happened, we have brought on ourselves, right? I have brought on myself where I have messed up. And I don't have to look far to see, why did that happen? Well, I did that. I did it. Some things are brought on by other people. We live with people that are imperfect like us that have done things. And a lot of things are just accidents, a slippery road, you know, a malfunction of a car or whatever. We live in a world that's not perfect. But this we can be sure is that God in all these things, in spite of all these things, God works for our good of those who love Him, who are called according to His purpose. God has a purpose. And a lot of people want to quote that verse, Romans 8:28, but it also says, for those who love him. God is calling us into relationship. He loves us, there's no doubt. Question is, do I love him? Do I want what God wants for my life? If we love him and long for him, folks, you can know he's got a purpose. It doesn't matter if you're 12 or if you're 52, God has a purpose for your life. And he loves us. And all the things that we go through this past year and the year to come, he's going to be working for our good. In spite of all the things that we have done or someone else has done or accidents that happened or the good things, the things, he's working. God is at work to achieve this eternal purpose in our lives. Now, if we were taking a journey this morning, we would have to have a destination. Hey, you know, let's go on a trip. Okay, well, where are we going? Well, let's just get in the car. Let's turn the engine. Well, no, we want a destination. We need a destination. Where are we going? Where are we headed? Which will probably be a question that some girls are going to ask me, some young women, rather, are going to ask me, what's for lunch? And we'll have to choose, and as Rachel shrugs her shoulders in agreement, we'll have to choose a destination. To understand our past, present, and future, we need to know that our lives have a destination. Now, there's things that happen along the journey, the good, the bad, the things that happen, things that we have done, that we brought on, things that others have done, accidents, the everyday activities that are part of our things that we're doing. But there has to be a destination. Or else we're just, I guess, traveling in circles, which I have done before. Thank goodness for GPS. God has a destination to which he has called us. And in that verse I read, Romans 8:30, it says that, and those he predestined, he also called. God's called us. What's that mean? Well, does that mean somebody's calling me on the telephone? I'm always feeling for the phone or digging through the purse. Where did I put my phone? This is talking about somebody speaking to your heart. That God speaks to you. And that God knows your name. And he's speaking to your heart. He's calling you. And just as he called out to Adam and Eve, Abraham and Sarah, he called them by name, and Isaac and Jacob, he called these people by name, and David, and he spoke to Moses from a burning bush. He said, Moses, Moses, he's calling our names. And what's he calling us to? He wants us to know him, to believe in him, to follow him, to experience his purpose for our lives. He's got a plan. It says, for those those he predestined, he also called. So long before you're even awake, you know, long before your eyelids even form in your mother's womb, long before you even formed, he had already predetermined some things. He had a predetermined purpose about your life. You think about the past. Not just the past year. I'm talking about eternity past. Long before you were born, God has always known about you. When Adam and Eve were there in the Garden of Eden, God knew about David Van Bever. Before God even created the sun, the moon, stars, because God is God, he knew about Kalik Edwards. He knew about Pat Stumer, Mark Brown, Jesse Brummett, Connor Bowling. He knew about you. and he predetermined something. This was God's predetermined plan. It says, those he called, he predestined in verse 29. In verse 29 it says, for God, those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. To be like Jesus. God's plan, his eternal purpose, is that in your life, you will be like Jesus Christ. You will be like his Son. Because when you answer God's call and you say, yes, Lord, I want to follow you, you become part of God's family. And just as Jesus is God's Son, you are related to, in essence, Jesus becomes not only your Lord, but he is your brother. That's hard to wrap my mind around. And you are created to be like God. That's, there. God created man in his own image. And so your purpose in life, the predetermined purpose from the past that you've been called to in the past, is to be like Jesus. To be like Jesus to me means I want to be a pastor like Jesus. I need to be a husband like Jesus. I need to be a father like Jesus would be. I need to be a son like Jesus would be. I need to be a friend like Jesus would be. To be like Jesus is my predetermined purpose. In some way, God has gifted you to carry out that role. Whether you're up here leading music, to be like Jesus. As a mother and grandmother, to be like Jesus. We have a predetermined purpose to which he has called us. Those he predestined, he also called. And those he called, he also justified. You see, in order to accomplish the purpose in your life, you have to deal with the problems of the past. And God already knew that. And before you were even born, God planned to send his Son, Jesus Christ, to die for your sins and my sins on the cross so we might be made just before God, justified. That our sins would be forgiven. The past has to be dealt with. Our sins have to be dealt with in order for us to achieve God's purpose. And that is achieved through Jesus Christ. The past, the remorse, the guilt, the sins that we have committed, that has to be dealt with before we can achieve God's purpose or before he can achieve his purpose through us. And that happened through Jesus Christ. Justified. And it says, those justified, he also glorified. Talking about the future. You have a future destination. If you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are going to heaven. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you haven't answered his call to follow him, you're not going to heaven. But he has a calling. And when you answer that calling, you can know that he has a predetermined purpose for your present life, to be and to live like Jesus. And to live, let Jesus live through your life in a powerful way. But you also have a future destination. You are glorified. In fact, the Bible says you're already seated with him in heaven. Now, how can that be? Because Jesus has already died. He rose from the dead. He ascended. He's exalted right hand of heaven. Where Jesus is, he's in you and you're with him. Now, this passage, real quickly, before we go to our last verse, did you notice it's all in the past tense? Called, predestined, called, justified, glorified. How can I be certain about the future? Because Jesus has already accomplished it. Yes. It is done. When Jesus said, it's finished, he did it. He did everything you needed on the cross. When he rose from the dead, he defeated death forever. When he ascended to heaven, you can know that one day you will ascend to heaven. When he was exalted to be up there with God in heaven, you can know that that's where you're going to be. When he was seated with God, you can know that's where I'm going to be. It's a done deal. Yes. Your past, present, and future is guaranteed. It is done. But one last verse I always think of with past, present, and futures is Hebrews 13:8, which says this. It's an easy memory verse. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. I want to read verse 7 right before that. In Hebrews 13 says, remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The writer here was talking about to these people at this church. He says, some of your leaders, you know, that taught you, they've went on to be with the Lord. And he says, consider the outcome of their faith, how they live their life. And know this, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the same. He's the same. As I think about this, I can think about many such people in my own life, and I consider how they trust in Jesus. I think of my mother. I thought of her this week. Of course, you know, the holidays. You know, you think about your loved ones gone past. I think about my mom and how she loved the Lord and how she believed the Lord and how she trusts the Lord. And you know what? Same Jesus that she believes in, he's the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. I think of people in our church. Think of Lester Fouts, Barb Humphrey, some of these people you might not even know, Lydia Meredith, Bruce Shipp, they went on to be with the Lord. But these people believed in the same Jesus that I still believe in today. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus never changes. Jesus is eternal. You talk about somebody who has been to the past, who has the power to forgive you the past. Jesus is eternal. Before the foundations, before the world was even created, he existed. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And nothing was that's ever been made. It was all made by him. Same thing in Colossians 1, 16 and 20 thereabouts. It talks about how he created everything. Jesus exists as eternal. He's from eternity past. And in Micah 5, when we were talking about where Jesus was born, we remember it says he's the ruler of ancient times that's coming. He's eternal. He is from eternity past. Before Adam and Eve ever sinned, his sacrifice for our sins was a done deal. You know, the Bible talks about Jesus as the lamb that was slain from the foundations of the earth. Well, how does that happen? He didn't die on the cross till, you know, like 2,000 years ago. But it was already a done deal. It was going to happen. Jesus is eternally our Savior. He's also eternally our Creator. He has the power to do the impossible. You know, this cold weather. Well, I tell you, when it was down below zero the other day, it's just like it just eats down into your soul and drains you of power. It feels like, you know, just like the heat's going out of you and it's sapping. But the Lord Jesus Christ has all power. The cold, the heat, he has power over it all. He is our Redeemer, our Sustainer, our Healer eternally. He never changes. He is the same as he was in eternity past. He is the same Jesus as well that we read about in Scripture that came and he lived the perfect life and he taught with great authority and he healed people. And he fed the 5,000 and he walked on water and he raised the dead to life. And he died on the cross and he rose from the dead. He's that same Jesus. He is the same yesterday. He is the same Jesus that forgives me of my past sins as the same Jesus that forgave Peter. The same Jesus who walked and talked with James and John along the Sea of Galilee, that's the same Jesus that walks with me. The same Jesus that confronted Paul on the road to Damascus, that's the same Jesus that speaks to me. The same Jesus gave the revelation to John that we sung about the first song today, that's the same Jesus. He's the same yesterday. He's the same today. He's the same forever. He's my North Star. Those guys on ships out there in the middle of the ocean trying to navigate their way across the Atlantic or Pacific where they were at, they had to find the North Star. And they had different instruments. They would kind of line them up. A constant, an unchanging. Jesus is our constant, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Have you ever anticipated things for the future that did not turn out anything like you thought? Well, of course, that's life, right? That's my life. That's your life. But I have found in a changing, changing, changing world, Jesus is the same. When I get upset, Jesus is the same. When the things don't turn out my way, Jesus is the same. When the job doesn't come through or the thing you were expecting doesn't happen, Jesus is the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. We set our sights on Him. For our past, present, and future are all found in Him. As I look at my past, times where things I've done have filled me with regret and remorse. But I can now experience forgiveness because Jesus is the same. This same Jesus deals with my past. As I live in the present, I'm keeping my eyes on Him. I have to turn my eyes back to Him because sometimes I get distracted, but He's still there. He's the same. As I look to the future, I'm not filled with fear, but with hope and certainty that He's already been there and He knows what lies ahead. And there I'll be with Him. There's no magic time machine, is there, Jesse? No magic time machine that we'd probably I don't know, where would we go? We could take a trip to the future or, maybe go back to the past. I don't know. We could take a trip somewhere, but it doesn't exist. But there is one who's been there. He knows our past. He knows the present. He knows the future. And He's already done everything that needs to be done for us to experience His purpose to be fulfilled powerfully in our lives. We don't need 1.21 gigawatts of power this morning to straighten it out. We need God's power, the same, the one who's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He has a plan for my past. He has forgiveness for the past, purpose for the present, and He has hope for the future. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. We're going to stand and sing our closing song, Jesus is Tenderly Calling. And this morning, Jesus is calling us. Like I said, He called us into relationship. He has called us. He's calling you. But, I wonder sometimes when I'm calling some relatives of mine I wonder, don't they know I'm calling them? Why aren't they picking up? I wonder if sometimes they choose not to pick up. That's never happened to you, has it? But if God's calling you even this morning, He's saying, David, I want you to trust in me as your Lord and Savior. I want you to give my life I want you to give your life to me. If Jesus is speaking to your heart this morning and you've never given your heart to Jesus, hey, there's not very many people here this morning. This would be the excellent opportunity for you to come forward and say, hey, today's the day I want to give my life to Jesus. If you would want to do that, come right now as we sing.